Stay tuned for The Holy Spirit is With You with Kathleen McCarthy, coming up next.
I would have liked to stay with you longer, but I find consolation in the words of Jesus. He tells us, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. The Father sends His Spirit of truth and love into the world, and the Spirit guides us in the ways of peace. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Welcome to The Holy Spirit is With You, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world.
Welcome once again to The Holy Spirit is With You. I'm always blessed. I have my wonderful friend there on the phone. Let me bring him in. That's Father Dermot Roche. Are you there, Father?
How are you?
I'm good. I was just introducing you, and I wanted to actually, Father called in not even a minute ago and picked up the phone and put him on hold. And I said, how are you doing, love? And he said, I'm willing. And would you say, I'm willing and I'm ready and willing. That's what he said. I'm ready and willing. And I thought, you know, we're ready. We're ready to go out. We're ready to do things. We're always ready. But we're not always willing. And that brings us to the subject matter we're going to discuss today. Coming in, I said to Dennis, who brings me in, brought me in today, I said, I really feel that maybe this will be the last day before Pentecost. Maybe we should talk about the Holy Spirit. So I called Father Dermot and I said, you know what? I said, I really have a sense. Let's just talk about the Holy Spirit today. And his heart rejoiced. I could feel it right through the phone. He said, Kathleen, that's perfect. Wait till I tell you the ways the Lord is working in my life. So if as St. Paul quoted so often, particularly in the scriptures, he said, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so the Spirit is always willing in us, willing to do God's will, willing to yield to the power of this Holy Spirit in our lives that dwells within us. So the Spirit is always willing, but we're not often ready to step into that. We're not always ready to go and proclaim the good news. And I think with us waiting now, it sort of reminds me, Father, how about you, about those who gathered with Mary in the upper room, really. They were awaiting the day of Pentecost, and that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, she had already received the Spirit in ways that, in the fullness of time, Jesus was conceived in the Virgin Mary through the power of the Holy Spirit. So she was with those believers, the apostles, the disciples, and other women in the upper room waiting. And I often think it's because she was with them because she was the only one that really experienced, if you will, the power, the breath, that ruah, the breath of the Holy Spirit in her own life. And so what better person to stand with the apostles in that upper room awaiting Pentecost as we are waiting to celebrate the beautiful birthday of the church once again on Sunday. And how do you feel about that?
Oh, yeah. I can tell you, when you think of the motley crew that was chosen to be the apostles, when you think they were, some of them were educated, uneducated, fishermen, whatever they might have been, and they, it was living proof that God is in control. But I love the very, very fact that Our Lady was indeed with them, because as the flesh is weak, he gave them a command at his ascension. Before he said, I promise you the gift of the Father, and he says, I'm going to ask you to watch and pray.
Mm-hmm.
And when we watch and pray, and we start looking at our watches, and we keep asking ourselves, okay, well, what's happening? We lose patience, we lose interest, we can get kind of delusioned, disillusioned. So what happens is, by leaving Mary in the midst of the boys, if you will, she's there to say, no, no, keep going. Just keep praying. Do whatever he has asked you. Just keep praying. You have no idea. I could imagine her saying, well, the best is yet to come. The best yet to come.
Yeah.
And I think, again, you just mentioned the Ruah, because we go to Acts chapter 2, at the beginning of the moment that was taking place. It's important to realize what was taking place even just before the Holy Spirit came down. Because God always gives signs, especially I would say, when significant points in salvation history. And he allowed them first to hear the ruah, to hear the wind.
Yeah.
Now in the Hebrew, the word ruah is not only spirit, but it's breath.
Breath, yep.
As well as wind, breath. And then they were hearing the breath of God. And then suddenly they were able to see tongues of fire. And those tongues of fire would be, some people beautifully say, they're symbols of the refining power of the Holy Spirit. The refining power of the Holy Spirit. It refines us, it purifies us, the fire that inflames us, ignites us. And then when I pondered this, I says, okay, just before that took place, they're seeing these things happen. Scripture says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And I think that's the miracle. I know they spoke in tongues and they went off and they were able to do incredible things afterwards. But they were all the charisms, the charismatic actions of the Spirit that took place after. The key is, at that moment, when they were seeing these things happening, when they had their hearts opened by God's request, will you keep open? They were filled with an expectant grace. I would say that's the best part, well, the best way to say it. This expectant grace that filled them then with the Holy Spirit. Now, what is that? Would you not agree with me that it is the Trinitarian love?
Absolutely.
This is the miracle that these men had no idea. Their flesh was very weak, and suddenly, in a split second, the Spirit of the living God allowed them, gave them privilege to experience what it is like for the Father, God the Father, to love the Son, and God the Son to love the Father. And suddenly, they don't talk about it. They're experiencing that.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
It is powerful. And we have experienced that, of course, in our own lives. And one of the things I also love, I mean, I think the book of Acts should be called the book of the Holy Spirit. But in Acts again, it says also something very, very powerful in Acts 1:14. It says, before the day of Pentecost, persevering with one mind in prayer with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with the rest of the brethren. So we see Mary by her prayers. And this is really something powerful. I think we overlook this because, as we both know and everyone listening knows, Mary's not really mentioned a lot in the Word of God, not a lot in Scripture. However, where she is mentioned, it is powerful because it shows us that you cannot separate the mother from her son. It tells us very clearly that every, shall I say, the most powerful, important times in the life of Christ, from his incarnation, throughout his life, through the cross, through his resurrection, through praying, through the outpouring of the Spirit, she was there every single time. And I think we overlooked the fact that she was there in that upper room, and we see her by her prayers imploring the gift of the Spirit, who had already overshadowed her, in the Annunciation, right? So she was already overshadowed by the power of the Holy Spirit. So she herself, by her prayers, she was imploring the gift of the Spirit. And we forget that. We forget that in Scripture it tells us it was Mary with them, the one who had experienced what happens when God mixes with us, the one who experienced the complete outpouring of grace and power. She was there. She was there, and she was imploring with them, of one mind, persevering in the one mind and heart. And I think that says so much about Our Lady, that's how it is with us today. We need Our Lady to continue to implore the gifts of the Spirit in our own lives, to prepare us to be vessels to go out and proclaim her son's message, the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord, and not only Lord, but that he left us his Spirit so that we could have that power to go out and in mission with the church to continue to proclaim the gospel.
True. Or as St. Paul says, it's the Spirit that allows me to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Our Lady, more so today than I think ever in history, is praying, imploring the throne of mercy.
I agree.
For the softening of hearts.
Mm.
Because the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it usually comes when Christian life is dysfunctional. That's when it comes in the extraordinary way. But we must remember that when we follow the model, Mary, the model of the great disciple, is the fiat that allows the yes, that allows the Spirit to move within us. And I'm sure she's praying over and over and over that more and more and more hearts will be softened to say yes, to welcome the God of life, the God of hope, the God of mercy into our lives.
Yeah,
it's so important and so vital these days. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that raises the dead.
Absolutely.
She knows that. And she sees an army of people that are, like they say in Ezekiel, they're all just dead. They're all bones.
Dry bones at that. Don't you think, Father, that the Spirit wants to rain down, the rain of the Spirit rain down on the parched minds, hearts, and bodies of so many of us in the church today. You know, we know Calvary. We've been forgiven. We accept that forgiveness. We've been blessed, and we've been given the gift of eternal life through our baptism and strength in the confirmation, but we still haven't really experienced, if you will, or received that same in that same way that we do a cowry for forgiveness of sins and wanting to be used in instruments of God. We haven't really opened ourselves up to the fullness and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He left us His Spirit. The Spirit, you know, in my own life, Father, I can tell you, there's nothing sweeter than the beautiful love and mercy of our God changing us and transforming us, not so much changing who we are, but helping us to become all that we can be, all that He created us to be, in His love, in His mercy, molding us and transforming us, just like, you know, the potter and the clay, where that verse is so true. I know in my life, if it wasn't for His infinite love, His mercy in my life, I would not be behind this microphone today. He truly set me free. He truly healed me from head to toe. He truly loved me. He just loved me into wholeness. And for that, I can never, ever express in words the love I have in my heart for all that He has done in my life. And praise God, He's not finished yet. He has so much more to do with me. But where I was and where I am is truly the work of the Holy Spirit and the love of the Father and the gift of Jesus and His consecrating in truth for all of us, and then the power of the Spirit to transform us more perfectly in to Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. And that change you speak about, your life has changed. Everybody who experiences the love, the touch of the Holy Spirit has changed. And it happens even sometimes to some of us who are literally knocked off our horse.
Yes.
Right until the day we die, there's a change of one degree of holiness to another. It's a continuous process because the God of mercy thirsts for us, and He just keeps reaching out. He never can get enough of us. And the more we keep saying yes to Him, the more He's going to take us to that next degree of holiness.
Mm.
But what we need to constantly do is to ask Him for that. And don't be afraid to say, I've had enough. God help us if we ever say that. It's good to be selfish with God sometimes. Asking God, give me more, show me more, fill me more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm begging you. Some man one day was chatting with me. He says, I beg me to possess the Holy Spirit. And I says, hold on, buddy. I says, it's not you who possesses the Holy Spirit. I think you need to change your prayer a little and ask that the Holy Spirit possess you.
Exactly.
Fill you, change you. If not, we're all dead.
That's absolutely. We're like those dry bones.
Like those dry bones in Ezekiel. Mm-hmm. And I see right now two things happen. A conflict of two seismographic, is that the correct word?
Yeah.
Shifts in the world and in the church right now.
Yes.
There's a lot of people out there living who are dead.
Yes.
And there's a shift of a movement where that breath of God's Holy Spirit is going to the innermost core of that skeleton and is beginning to breathe in life again.
Mm-hmm.
Just when He says to Ezekiel, prophesy into the bones itself.
Yes.
And then I'll put those hooks on it that they can have meat and muscle and skin. I'm beginning to see that. And I'm speaking as a priest who is pastorally out there with the people. There is something beautiful happening in spurts, in remnants,
mm-hmm.
but the fact is it's happening. They're answering a call of a God who's thirsting to take us home. thirsting to change us, thirsting to fall in love with us again and again and again.
You know, Father Roche, and I think you would very much agree with this. And again, it's about Our Lady. I know her role. So many times, people that don't understand the theology of Our Lady often think we worship Mary. And nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, all you have to do, and I tell them, go back and read the Magnificat. I mean, she's constantly giving all the glory to God. She says, He who is mighty has done great things for me. So she, like each of us who are creatures, Mary was a creature, but she knew that He, the Lord, God, could do more than she could even express. And she says it so beautifully, for He who is mighty, it's Him who has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And we, you know, sometimes, and I think really quite honestly as Catholics, sometimes we can give an askewed message of Mary. When we have it in right order, this is how God created us. He created us as man. Mary was His perfection. And so when we look at Our Lady, it's her role to draw us to the side of Christ totally and completely. That is her role. And who knows better? Who knows better really to draw us to the Sacred Heart of Christ than the Mother of Christ? I mean, she nursed Him at her breast. She raised Him. She walked with Him when He cut teeth. She, comforted Him when He fell and hurt Himself. And she was the Mother. And because of that, she continues that role that Jesus gave her from the cross, that we are all her children. We're her spiritual children. And she continues, as the scriptures say, particularly at this time of the year, she continues to implore and wait and expect the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the rest of the disciples, on the rest of her children, so that we can be drawn closer and closer to the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
And it's also by the same, in the same token, that by our devotion and relationship with her.
Absolutely.
Even when she asks us, pray the rosary, I'm giving you a remedy here. That's like her saying to the first apostles, hang in there. Do whatever He tells you. His promise is sure. It is sure. He never reneges on His promise. And here we are, as children of God, imploring the baptism in the Spirit, imploring a whole new renewal of the earth, of our faith and our families, and in all the everyday advents in life when we're waiting for something greater. With Our Lady, she makes it so much sweeter. She's here by saying, hold on, just keep going. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
The best yet to come. Best yet to come.
You know, my husband, he didn't know when he gave me this that this would be very prophetic in his own life. But he gave me a plaque one day, and he came in the house, and we had been out shopping. We were on vacation, and, he must have been looking at his little things. Of course, I was looking at mine. And when we got home that night, he said, Kathleen, I got you something today. I said, you did? What did you get me? And sure enough, if it wasn't a plaque to say, the best is yet to come. and it was so true. I mean, we already had 12 children, and I thought it was so beautiful. He said, Kathleen, this says it all. The best is yet to come. And it was only about a year later, he did experience the best when God called him home. The best was indeed yet to come. And it is Our Lady, in truth, that implores the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, even today, on her children, because that's the only way that we'll make it back home. It is through walking that pilgrimage that Mary walked. We all want to go on a pilgrimage, right, Father? You've been to Medjugorje many times. I've been all over myself. You know, that's the one place I haven't been. I have not been to Medjugorje, no.
Oh, my God, if you want to talk about the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I have not been there.
Okay, well, all I'll say is I have been yet to meet a person that has returned home who could put a name on it.
Yeah.
Who can describe what is happening to them, what is happening there. I think if you wanted to, Medjugorje is a new type of Pentecost. Mm. Because nobody, I've yet to meet a person to say, oh, it was so beautiful. They just stop, many cry, and many say, oh, my God, I can't describe.
Yeah, I mean, all my priest friends have been there numerous times. My beloved friend, Father, I call him the Padre, Father John McFadden. It's been there more than any other priest I know. And keep him in your prayers, my brothers and sisters. He's recovering from a bad fall. He's doing well. But he often says, you really can't describe it. I have so many friends that have been there. I even had a woman, I was just telling Maureen, my assistant, that a woman called here and wanted me to be, and she might be listening today, she said they prayed about it and they really feel that they wanted to ask me to be their director for their, like more of a spiritual advisor for their Medjugorje group. And I said, I really, you know, you're asking me, but I've never been there. I wouldn't be a good person because I've never been there, never experienced it. And so I said, I will pray for you that God will lead you to the right person. And you know, all those times, and I love Our Lady. Matter of fact, I came to Jesus in a special way through Our Lady. And yet I've never been to Medjugorje. Been to Fatima. I mean, I've been everywhere, but I've not been there. So I feel that it's time I run a trip, a pilgrimage to Medjugorje. And you just confirmed it for me today, because we all want to go on a pilgrimage. But Mary was on the greatest pilgrimage ever. She was on the pilgrimage in the upper room, waiting for the outpouring of the Spirit on all those who were gathered. And you know what I love, Father? It says all those. It doesn't say that the Spirit of God breathed on some of them or most of them. It says all of those were blessed and filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that encouraging for all of us, this motley crew here?
Yes, indeed it is. It really is. And however it's received, it's up to the Lord, because he's the author of all. But the fact is that he has something in store for each and every one of us.
Amen. Amen.
Nobody is left out, and nobody is left orphaned.
Mm. Yeah, he doesn't have any stepchildren, or there's no orphans, right? We're all children of God.
And our mother, when she sees that somebody is being treated like the runt,
yeah,
she makes sure she gets her son in on this one.
Absolutely.
She gets them back in the fold as well. She knows every one of us like her own son.
Yeah.
We're all her children, and she has a responsibility given to her on the cross. She will do everything by God's grace for the outpouring of the Spirit to save every soul on this earth.
Amen. With that great thought, ponder it, my brothers and sisters. We're going to take a little station break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Father Dermot Roach, SMA Father, and Kathleen McCarthy, President of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Have you ever heard of seed faith, the biblical law of sowing and reaping? Many people fail when it comes to faith for finances because they haven't planted any seed. Any farmer knows that if you want a good crop, you have to first sow the seed. The Bible speaks about seed right from the beginning in Genesis, and it's brought up all throughout the scriptures. In the second book of Corinthians, we are told that whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Why not consider sowing your financial seed into In His Sign Catholic Radio, a ministry with a 30-year history? You should sow your financial seed into a ministry that produces good fruit. Luke tells us at chapter 6, verse 44, every tree is known by its fruit. You should sow your financial seeds where you're fed, be it here, your local parish, or other worthy ministries. Please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. Kathleen McCarthy and all of the staff at In His Sign, except Kathleen's administrator, donate all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis, at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010, or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
Well, welcome back again. We are continuing on to our last half hour, and we want to praise and thank God for each and every one of you. Today, as usual on Thursday, I have my good friend, Father Dermot Roche, and as you know, he's an SMA father, and just want to very quickly, Father, if you would just a little capsulize just a little bit about your mission, and for those that might not have been tuning in the last couple of weeks.
Sure. The we're a missionary institute. In fact, this December 8th, we were founded on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. We will be 160 years established in the church. Our main work, given to us by Pope Pius IX, is to bring the gospel to the poorest of the poor and to develop the Church of Africa. And Pius IX made it very clear that he wanted indigenous clergy, local clergy, to help build the infrastructure of their own countries. So that's the work that we do. Mm. We're in 16 countries right now on the African continent, both English-speaking as well as French-speaking. Many of them, unfortunately, in the last 3-4 years have gone into either civil unrest or victims of fundamental terrorism. But God love our guys, they're out there doing what they've been called to do, to joyously proclaim the gospel to the poorest of the poor. Mm. So that's the type of work that we do. It's also known as primary evangelization. It doesn't have a lot of the politics, if you will, because we're building infrastructure rather than living in it. And it takes a lot of time, prayer and support. So that's we always need the help of the people of God in order to build the Church of God. And in this particular mission, the Church in Africa. So the SMA Fathers are celebrating 160 years coming up, and this is the type of work we do at Kathleen.
Well, for all of you, I just wanted to, you know, allow Father to have a little bit of an explanation. And, you know, we have shared on a couple of occasions now the magnificent work that they do there. And we see, not only there, but we see it in the many of the countries that are under great persecution. We can talk to, you know, even in over in Turkey and over in different parts of the world where these people are under such persecution and they have nothing. They're the poorest of the poor. They've lost everything. And yet their faith is vibrant. Their faith is alive. And they have a joy in the midst of their sorrow that can only come from the Holy Spirit. And it amazes me time and time again as you talk about, you know, the African mission. And I know that you have shared with me that time and time again, these people have touched your life by their faith, vibrant in the midst of such trials and tribulations. And I think time and time again, I say it all the time, sometimes we can be so accustomed to all the wonderful blessings that we have, and these things are good, but the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would we still be able to say that as readily? And so I think we have to keep in perspective the power of the Holy Spirit in each one of our lives. You know, Mary was called, of course, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the church has, you know, the theology of the church has always taught that that Mary, through the power of the Holy Spirit in a kind of new way, became a temple of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. And I think for you and I, we need to remember, we too, she carried the incarnate God within her. She carried Jesus within her, second person of the Blessed Trinity. But you and I, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I carry the third person of the Blessed Trinity within us. You and I literally carry the third person of the Holy Trinity. We forget who he is. You know, it's not a thing. It's not an event of Pentecost. It is a person, the third person of the Blessed Trinity. And we too are really temples of the Holy Spirit. We too are changed and transformed and molded and formed anew through the gift of the Holy Spirit in each of our lives that will empower us to become what God calls us to be. And the more we avail ourselves to that power, the more power we will have available. Father?
You know, the Pentecost has been in a constant movement since the first sending of the Holy Spirit, and it will remain that way until Jesus comes again.
Mm. Yeah.
And that is the movement that's within us. And we receive the Holy Spirit in baptism. What is lacking, I think, for so many of us is unleashing what was given to us.
Mm.
And I say that in the sense that what they call the baptism of the Spirit. We need every day to renew,
yes,
what we have. To say, look, you just reminded everyone so beautifully and passionately. Look what we have. Look who we have in us.
Yes.
Do you realize that? And because each of us are so unique in God's eyes, there are gifts and there are fruits that come from this baptism that are literally bound. And the reason why they need to be released is so that we could give God greater glory. So the Pentecost is constantly moving in us, but then we have to have this renewal in it. St. Paul, I don't know if it's Galatians or Ephesians, he talks about, listen, do everything you can to strive to live in the same attitude as Christ.
Yeah.
I think it's Ephesians. That way, that's where we say, okay, where does the Spirit want me to go?
Mm.
So if, you know, that, you see, the Holy Spirit today makes Jesus contemporary, makes him alive in our lives, helps us to glorify him, causes the dead, when we're dead in sin, to rise. This is the God of hope. And the whole baptism of the Holy Spirit, if that's the way we can say the renewal of that, mm. allows us to rediscover the gifts we have.
Mm.
Many times we don't even realize the gifts that we have. Now, you shared beautifully how much the Holy Spirit has changed you over the years and continues to change. I'm the same way. When I knew that the Holy Spirit was so deep within me, when I discovered these gifts, these fruits of my baptism that weren't even unleashed,
mm-hmm.
I discovered things that where I could pray more. I was compelled
yep.
to pray more. And even in the best of times as well as the worst of times, I fell in love with our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. I have a holy hour every single day. I was given the gift of preaching on the day of my ordination. I admit that. It's a charism of the Holy Spirit. But I think what is happening to me and continues to happen most of all is that I have a continuous new relationship with Jesus.
Yes.
My God, my Savior. I personally, through the promptings of the Holy Spirit, discovered in a profound way the God of mercy, a Jesus who isn't a theory, a Jesus who is alive within me in his spirit, who has bones, who has flesh, who reaches out to us, who reaches out to me,
mm-hmm.
reaches out to you. And this is where that whole the baptism in the Spirit really becomes a whole new discovery for us. All of us should continuously have baptisms in the Spirit. So as you say, Kathleen, to recognize who is living within us.
Yes.
Because of the Holy Spirit and because of Our Lady's continuous invoking God to send that Spirit within us.
Hmm. You know, I think we not only take for granted the things that we're blessed with, our family, our children, our country, our livelihoods, all the niceties that we all have, but the greatest thing we fail to recognize that all good things come from above, and the greatest gift is the gift of God's Spirit within us. I mean, when we read the scriptures, I mean, the woman that was healed from the hemorrhage, what did Jesus say? Who touched me? It was the woman who timidly got up and finally said it was her. And he said he knew someone touched him in quote-unquote faith because power went out from him. And that's the power that because we've been baptized into Christ, we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's the same, that power we have in us. And that is God, the third person of the Blessed Trinity. That, as I said, that's what makes us temples of the Holy Spirit. And that we can never take for granted. And when we do, we will never grow into the perfection that God calls us all to. We aren't perfect. He never says, you're perfect like me. He doesn't say, you're going to be perfect. He said, be perfect. That verb, that action word. So he's constantly, by the power of the Spirit in us, helping us to be perfect, to grow into that perfection, to grow into his image and his likeness more day by day, moment by moment. And what better role model do we have than Our Lady? And, you know, I might just grab you for a second off balance here, I don't know. But one of the things that I love our listeners, and we only have, much time left, but I wanted to get this in. When we did the retreat, you know, my retreat, healing retreat at Malvern Lumina Christi, you did something, you shared something very beautiful, and it was profound in its simplicity, but profound. And you talked about the rosary, and you talked about St. Dominic and the cloth, and how the rosary was first constructed, if you will, for want of a better word. Can you share that, or not right now?
We talk about the 150 Hail Marys
to the Psalms.
See, what happened there was Our Lady's, again, input in the time in history when her children needed the Spirit in a new way. There was all across Europe a tsunami of uneducated people. They could not read. While the church officials were and the religious were praying the liturgy of the hours, the 150 Psalms in the course of a four-week cycle, which sanctifies the church in a constant movement of prayer, she wanted everybody to be part of this. And so she came to St. Dominic, handed him this rosary, and she says, the first title she ever gave the rosary was, she said, Dominic, receive my Psalter. My Psalter.
I love that.
And she then explained in all of the teachings of the rosary that this is for the people to be in union with the church to sanctify the church worldwide. So it has a structure, a body, this 150 Hail Marys in the three mysteries that were originally given in the church, the joyful, the sorrowful, and the glorious mysteries. They are in union with the 150 Psalms that David wrote in the times that were joyful for the people of Israel and the kingdom, that were times of suffering and real hardship, and the triumphant times where they praised God for his great glory. Christ becomes the fulfillment of that, and then she presents this in a whole new meditation.
I just think that's absolutely beautiful. It really touched my heart. I happen to love the Psalms. And when you share that, and I never knew that, quite frankly, but when you shared that, it just moved me and moved my heart deeply. And I just wanted our listeners who are, you know, they love Our Lady, they love our Lord, and they're open to the power of the Holy Spirit. And I wanted them to hear that beautiful explanation of Our Lady coming to St. Dominic and for the purpose she did. I just think it's lovely. I think next week, maybe the last half hour, we're going to open up the phone lines. And, it'll be after Pentecost. And we'll open up the phone lines. And we would invite you to call in then, God willing, if we're here. To call in and to share. Maybe you would have a Pentecost moment of grace that you could pinpoint, or maybe you have a question for Father or myself, and pertaining to the Holy Spirit. This is the program. The Holy Spirit is with you. And as we're talking here, I really feel led to remind everybody that on next Thursday, that's what we'll do, if that's okay with you, Father.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
I'm ready and willing.
So let's these last, we have about 8 minutes left. So tell us, Father, for yourself, what's the most in a succinct way, what is Mary's own personal relationship with her beautiful priest son? That's you.
Oh, okay. Well, now we're talking. It's very personal.
Mm.
It's very human, and it's very close. I understand more and more that Our Lady, as a mom,
yep.
it walks, even as an adult now, she walks me and teaches me how to be in persona Christi more and more. I don't care what anybody says in terms of what they think about Marian devotions or Marian spirituality. If you are a Marian, if you carry a Marian spirituality, if you are a Marian priest, you are more Christocentric than others.
Yes.
There's no denying it. She infuses in you, and maybe she implores the Holy Spirit to infuse within us an enormous love of Christ and the Blessed Sacrament, a desire to celebrate a more fervent Mass, a deeper prayer life, and to be, as St. Paul was saying, in the mind of Christ more and more. And the funny thing is, the more I pray to her, the closer and closer I get to Christ. It's so real. It's like going to my mom and saying, listen, I need something, go to your father,
yep.
which she did many, many times. But by saying go to him, she's still supporting you. And I know that when I pray to Our Lady for particular people, especially the sick, I know she has a tender love for them. She listens to me as a priest. I know she does, in a very different way. And she wants the best for my intentions. And I know that anything she says to Christ, he can't deny her, so long as it's according to his will. And my love for the Mother of Jesus grows in leaps and bounds. I get emotional. Excuse me.
I understand.
I think if people truly knew how much this woman loves, when you experience it in different ways, how much she loves and cares for us, oh my God, you cannot but love her back. And I know she has a special protection over me and over the priests.
Yes.
She does have a deep love and concern for her priests. We are her beloved, and that's the word she often
uses. That's right.
Her beloved sons. And we have a power that she doesn't even have, and that is to absolve sins, to make Jesus Christ present to the whole world in the power of the Mass.
Yeah.
She doesn't even have that power, and yet she will turn to us in reverence to us because we have chosen to be like her.
Yeah.
And I'll say this in terms of my personal relationship. She is truly more than a friend to me. She truly is my mother. And she has done enormous work for me and continues to help me in these tough times as priests, to understand, to give me encouragement, I guess like the apostles of the Pentecost. And she gives me a lot of joy. People tell me it's expressed in me, and I think that's one of her gifts that she gives, because I keep saying yes.
Hmm.
I can't say no to the lady. A ladies' man, what could I tell you?
Yes, I agree.
I can't say no to her. And I know I can actually know her promptings within me.
Yeah.
I won't say no. I can tell you when it's her.
You know, Father, I can tell you this. I know in my own life, I remember one day my mother loved Our Lady. And I remember one day, the first time I said prayers by rote before when I was a little kid. But the first time, I really can honestly say that I actually prayed from my heart to Our Lady. I remember going and saying, I come to you as my mother's daughter, because my mother loved you. And I asked that if she could teach me to love her son the way she loved him, with a motherly love, with a love that was selfless. And although, like I said, he's doing a work and he has so much more to do with me, I know that Our Lady has interceded for me before the throne of God. I have no doubt. And I think that we need to remember, all of us, that just as she was a temple of the Holy Spirit, we too are called to be, and we have to reflect on who dwells within us, because just as she said, he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. I wanna thank you, Father. Could we have your blessing? We'll be going off in a minute.
Sure. We pray today to the Holy Spirit, the coming of the Pentecost. We ask you, Spirit, to heal our wounds, to renew our strength, to pour in life into our dryness, to wash our stains and guilt away, to defrost us, melt the hardness of our hearts, and keep us closer to you that we will not go astray. May Our Lady, the spouse of the Holy Spirit, intercede for us, and to invoke his protection and guidance over us. And may the blessings of the Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. God bless.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Well, my brothers and sisters, we come to the close of the program. You know, we only have about a minute and a half left, and I just say to everybody, stay tuned for the next hour. I've asked Gloria Coyne to come on and talk about the upcoming Eve of Pentecost Mass down at the cathedral. And so, of course, Father Chifo will also be joining us. So I'm blessed, very blessed, to have you stand so beautifully lockstep with me in this new hour. And I am so grateful, so very, very grateful for your kind words, for your letters, and for the blessings of all your prayers and underpinning of this new hour, as well as our other hour. But that God might bless this apostolate, and he has blessed it in many ways through you telling us how you've been blessed by this first hour, the new programming, as well as the old. You know, the church is ever ancient, but it's also ever new. May we never forget whose we are, that we all might decrease and allow the power of the Holy Spirit to increase within each and every one of us. And so, don't go away. We will be back. And I also want to remind you, please, call in. If this ministry has blessed you, then give us a call. Give us a call that we can share that with our listeners. How has this program in particular in these last few weeks, how has it touched your life? Give us a call and we'd be glad to put that on the air. May God bless you, and may you never forget Our Lady is with us always. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we will never be left orphans.